welcome everyone to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. And I have to say, it has been a hell of a weekend, and we've been watching a bit of, there's been a hell of a lot of sports going on. First of all, plug out to our sponsors, Green Security. They are one of the best security companies in the Auckland area, but also cover anywhere in New Zealand for all your security needs. Call Green Security. Their number is 09 846 7299, or you can email them service@greensecurity.co.nz. And if you want to know what the green is, it is green with an E. And first of all, what a hell of a weekend it has been. And to join us, as he, we got a bit confused when we were talking off here, but it's great to have him on. My good friend Steph, coming in off the bench for AJ. Good afternoon, Stephen Harris.
Good afternoon to your Planet FM listeners.
Yeah, first of all, before we get into the rugby, obviously the news over the weekend, the Prince of Centres, the late great Bruce Robinson, died on Friday. Really one of the best centres in the game. Really looking forward to having a chat to Sir Brian Williams about his career and the friendship both of them galvanised together. Some of your thoughts on Bruce Robinson?
Yeah, there would have been some very heavy hearts around over the weekend. Players of BG Williams ilk, the likes of Stu Wilson, and you know, many other great names that played with Bruce Robinson. Wonderful centre. Probably the basically he'd put on a clinic on how a centre should actually play a game. His draw and pass, his timing of the draw and pass was just second to none, and you know, great anticipation. Had that ability to take an outside gap, but boy, away from the game, one of the nicest men you'd ever meet. You know, he did a bit of, whilst he played they were counties back in that day before they became counties Manukau, but he worked at the Auckland Rugby Union and latterly at the Northland Rugby Union. His wife, originally from the north, so he moved back to Whangarei. And spent a bit of time at the Northland Rugby Union, and I had quite a bit of dealings with him, and just a wonderful, wonderful man. Always greeted me as Mr. Harris whenever he saw me, but I'd always basically pick his brain. But just a lovely, lovely, lovely guy. And once again, our thoughts go out to many of his whānau friends, people at the Northland Rugby Union and Counties Manukau Rugby Union. Boy, he'll be sadly missed.
He certainly will be, Stephen, the Prince of Centres. Well, we'll start off the chat about the Super Rugby weekend. Well, we didn't see this coming, and I didn't see it coming. I think I made the prediction that the Chiefs will be unbeaten until the final. Reds 25, the Chiefs 22. Really some top performance. The Reds were outstanding. You know, you have to give it to them. Whether Clayton McMillan, by making those changes, because those guys did need a break, underestimated them, possibly. But, you know, Tate McDermott, Fraser McWright, you know, fantastic performance by them.
Oh, listen, one of the differences was their loose forward Truett of Wright, Uru and McFraith. McFraith especially, just absolutely outstanding. These guys were tackling themselves to a standstill. I just want to chuck a little bit of balance, because there's been a lot of talk about the Chiefs resting all their, you know, some of their sort of star players, their All Blacks, but this is actually an injury-hit Reds team that's missing the likes of Jordan Tosiah, Hunter Paisami, even Taniela Tupou. You know, we know how important he is, not just to Reds rugby, but also Australian rugby, and they're also missing several others as well. But boy, that was an outstanding performance, probably one of the best performances I've actually seen from an Australian side in a long time. So we could lament on how the Chiefs left people out, but to me, you only play as well as the team that you're up against letting you
absolutely
play.
Absolutely, Stephen. I totally agree with you there. That you're dead right there. And of course, then we move on to the Saturday, the early game on Saturday, the Hurricanes 71, Moana Pacifica 22. Big Artie with a hat trick, but really, quite impressed with Aidan Morgan. Had a really fantastic game. I heard Nisbo saying it really was one of his best games ever. You know, at times I felt Moana Pacifica, they were in the hunt, but really in the end, that second half, they were just blown away by the Hurricanes.
Absolutely. And listen, they had to run out pretty much what was a second side because they've got a tough lot of games coming up. I know they've got the Crusaders next up at home at Mount Smart Stadium, and they wanted to rest a few guys. Levi Amua wasn't there. Solomon Funaki, who'd been outstanding against the Blues before. Tava Tava Nawai, we all know what sort of X factor he gives this team. Arani at halfback was missing as well. So, yeah, they had several of their big names missing. And I thought they did well to stay in the fight till halftime. But, gee, once the floodgates opened, they really did open. You know, just once again, just with this Moana team, they at times early in the second half, they got themselves back into the game. But just, boy, missed opportunities, went over the line a couple of times, and they probably needed to stay in this game much deeper. But at the end of the day, you know, I look at the two benches. When you can bring on the likes of Peter Umanga Jensen, Josh Morby, you know, the likes of Caleb Delaney, Rakety Stones, that's pretty awesome. Where I kind of look at the Moana Pacifica bench, and with the greatest respect, they pulled some guys out of Auckland Club Rugby, Lolangi Visonia, Sam Wai, Joe Royal, who was missing from Ponsonby on the weekend. These are club rugby guys that they pulled out. So should we be surprised by this?
No, not at all. It's a huge step up, Stephen. Absolutely huge step up. Of course, then we go to the Saturday night game, the one that we're all anticipating. Pretty much a very, with the conditions, a very dour affair, but the Crusaders won 15 points to 3, but a controversial possible knock-on and Faiana Nuku's try. But really, it's sending off of Dalton Papali. He totally agree with that. But one person, and I'm going to make this call right now, a guy that I believe will be named in Ian Foster's World Cup squad going to France, Tamaiti Williams. Fantastic.
Oh, absolutely huge shift, because that was I think he had to change sides during the game as well. Obviously, the early loss of Joe Moody, you know, tried to carry on, but you could see he was struggling, so I haven't heard any reports on how long he's going to be out. But listen, mark my words, despite that try, and it wasn't a possible knock-on, it was a knock-on, but, you know, at the end of the day, I actually thought that scoreline flattered the Blues. Yes, they defended their hearts out, but on saying that, you know, apart from the breakout where the bounce of the ball for Bowden Barrett, I thought tactically they were pretty inept for about 65 minutes until they decided, gee, we need to hold on for the ball, a little bit of desperation. But it's a picture we've been seeing from the Blues all years. But listen, this is all about a very good Crusaders victory. And once again, we talk about a team that is not back to full capacity, missing Ethan Blackadder and, of course, Sam Whitelock from that pack. That's still pretty impressive. And this is where you want some of the other guys to basically stand up. And I thought none stood up more than probably Braden Enua. You know, I thought that was one of his better games.
Yeah.
And in a Crusaders jersey. And those are the guys that you want to stand up. I like the look of Callum Grace as well, Tom Christie, you know. And, of course, you know, unsung guy, Christian Leo Willey as well. And, you know, at the end of the day, they lost nothing to the much-vaunted Auckland 3, but I thought in a losing team, got a special mention for Adrian Choate. He's just in a good patch of
form. A good Waitemata man, Stephen.
Oh, you had to get there today.
Yeah, absolutely. If it was an Eden guy, I'd be cheering on too. So, yeah.
Very good.
I have to say, then we go to the Sunday game, and, of course, have to say, really great effort by the Highlanders. They've had a really, really tough year. And, you know, the Brumbies proved why they're so hard to beat in Canberra. Really, you know, you looked at Pete Samu, you looked at Corey Toole's try, but really impressed with the Highlanders. Really made a real spirited effort. Thomas Umanga Jensen, you know, nobody's talking about him as a possible bolter for the All Blacks. He's had a really good season, Stephen.
Oh, very good. He played well. He was direct. I mean, so the Brumbies had all sorts of issues handling him. you know, and like you say, another good performer, Billy Harmon as well. But you know, once again, unfortunately, when they went to the bench, they didn't get a lot off the bench with 20 minutes to go. 22 unanswered points from the Brumbies. They pretty much finished over the top of this Highlanders team. And, you know, the Brumbies also showed they're not just a team that are basically a line-out drive and maul team as well. Man, they can score some pretty amazing tries, and that's what they did in the last 20 minutes. Much improved from the Highlanders, but, you know, when your season's going south, sometimes you just can't take a trick.
You certainly can't take a trick. And, you know, I felt, you know, better performance, and you know, it's just really, really hard. I really cannot see them making the playoffs. You know, that win could have been very crucial for their playoff contentions, but it's looking pretty, pretty hard for them going into it. Obviously, some of the other games, Waratahs 38, Rebels 20, the Force 34, Fiji and Druna 14. So they wrap that up. It's looking tight at the table, the Chiefs and of course, the Brumbies, and, of course, third place being the Hurricanes, who have actually been really like the dark horses of this competition.
Yeah, they certainly have. Well, their big game is when they obviously head up to Auckland to take on the Blues. I think that might actually that might pretty much determine who the top four is, because to be honest, I look at the top five at the moment, and you've got four of those New Zealand teams along with the Brumbies battling for those top four places to basically look for a home passage, or at least a quarter final for starters. But if you can finish further up the table, maybe getting that home semi final as well. The Brumbies, don't forget, we've still got the Brumbies yet to play the Chiefs as well. Remembering that's going to be a Canberra's. You talk about the top eight. Yeah, I think it was important for the Highlanders that game yesterday. They were up for it, but boy, I just think they might have left their run too late. And I see a real good battle going on for both the Drua and the Forces. I'm just having a quick look at the table as we're speaking at the moment.
And even the Rebels have a chance too. So
even the Rebels, you know, you sort of go into those last three rounds. Well, the Force, they've got the Brumbies this weekend, but that's at home. The Rebels have got the Highlanders, but they've got to travel. Then once again, we look at the Force. They've got to travel away to play the Rebels again. So that could be a toughy one for them. And just going into the very last round, well, the Force, they've got the Chiefs. So I'll tell you what, the Drua, I think the Druas haven't got too bad a draw. If there's a bit of a drawback for the Drua, they're probably showing that travelling away sometimes is a bit of an issue for the Fijian boys.
Absolutely is. And, of course, the match of the round I'm picking will be the Chiefs versus the Hurricanes. That should be a cracker on Saturday night in Hamilton. I believe that the Chiefs could bounce back, but this is a much improved Hurricane side.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I tell you what, sometimes when you do get beaten, sometimes that mojo, you know, I don't expect the Chiefs to lose their mojo, but you know, there might be a little template there for all other teams from the Reds on how to beat this Chiefs side. On saying that, there were a lot of unforced errors from the Chiefs on Friday night, but you know, like I said, that all comes about through pressure.
It certainly does. Well, thank you very much, Stephen. We did have a few minutes before we came to here. We had a confusing bit of confusion, but it's always great. And thank you for coming off the bench for AJ. No doubt we'll be giving you a few taps on the shoulders to come on and weeks to come. So thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Stephen Harris. Thanks, Stephen.
Not a problem at all.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Okay, that was Stephen Harris. So next, we're just going to get a bit of music on, and then we're just going to, get on to NRL with Frank Endicott. Sorry, sounding a bit confusing.
It's the time.
Welcome everyone back to the West Prince. Well, no, it's not the West. The Green Security Sports Review. I might be told off by the new sponsor, you know, putting the old sponsor's name. But no, it's all good. Anyway, what a weekend of NRL it's been. Of course, a bit of big news. At the end of the 2024 season, Craig Bellamy will be stepping down from the Storm. So obviously, he's got this season and next season to probably, you know, to finish up on top. But as always, we always get on our NRL analyst, former Warriors coach, former Kiwis coach, all-round good bloke, Frank Endicott. Good afternoon, Frank. How are you going?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Amon.
It's been a what a weekend. I tell you what, this NRL, there's just nothing between the, the top sides, but between that fifth and eighth place, it's just so hard to follow. Well, we'll start off. The Warriors 24, the Bulldogs 12. There's no complaints from the CEO this time. No moaning about referee Sean Johnson, Adam Fanua Blake, and Tohu Harris. They were absolutely excellent.
Yeah, they were. I thought the fullback chance, Nicole Klockstad, was also one of the standouts, Amon. It was a good all-round team performance, solid. Never looked like losing the game in my book against a pretty depleted Bulldogs outfit, though, I must admit. But eighth on the ladder. Got a welcome bye this coming week so they can freshen up for the Broncos the week after. They're looking okay.
They're actually looking good, and they're looking more like a team unit. Like it was, it's been enjoyable to watch the Warriors, especially after the frustration of possibly the last of last season for a lot of fans. And, you know, when you hear the Australians saying that the Warriors have a good shout of even making the top four, Then we know I don't know whether it's the Australians, whether it's the commentator's curse, but, you know, great opportunity for the for the Warriors to solidify their spot in the top eight, probably playing a very understrength Broncos team with State of Origin on at the same time. The first game, well, I tell you what a cracker this one's. The Storm 24, the Broncos 16, the combination of Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster, fantastic. But Harry Grant, what a player.
This was one of the two most enjoyable games of the weekend. It started the week off on Thursday night in great heart. To watch that game was two teams really going at each other. Very, very intense. And I thought the right team coming out at home to win the game. But, those two halves and the hooker, they were brilliant. They were brilliant on the night and paved the way for their victory.
They certainly did. Payne Haas had quite a good game for the Broncos. Then, of course, this was a game we called the game of the round, and I'm still in a bit of shock. The Panthers 48, the Roosters 4. Some real concerns for the Roosters. A couple of injury, one to Joey Manu and Jared Warrior Hargreaves. But really outstanding to watch. You know, you looked at Fisher Harris and Leota, just a real good stint. Scott Sorensen, but, you know, that halves combination of Cleary and Luai, they were just brilliant.
Well, I thought that Luai over the last three games has been very ordinary, to be honest, and I thought he'll lose his place in the State of Origin team. But the game that he had the other night was his best of the year by far, and really helped the Panthers win the game. But you look at that Panthers team, they were at their best the other night. Every player in the team did his job, you know, a well-balanced outfit that really hit their straps the other night. And, you know, they keep playing like that, they're going to be in the grand final again, aren't they?
I think they will be in the grand final. And you know who I think they could be playing in the grand final is Souths. 20-0 over Tigers. You know, Campbell Graham, you know, Latrell, Cody Walker. The Souths are really looking like a very well-polished side at the moment, Frank.
They are. They're looking the best side, actually, to be fair. I mean, their attack is brilliant and nothing wrong with their defence, keeping the Tigers scoreless. I thought they went asleep a wee bit in the second half. You know, they seemed to be content with the lead they had, and they just defended their way out of the game. I thought Latrell Mitchell was you didn't really see him in the first half, but then when he came in midway through the second half, he had a couple of touches there that were just changed the game again. You know, he goes to another level. But by gee, I'd like to see him have more input in the, especially in the big games, because he's lethal.
Oh, he's brilliant at the moment. Obviously, he'll be named in the New South Wales State of Origin team. There's no doubt about that. The Cowboys really beginning to... They're having a bit of a resurgence. 42-22 over the Dragons. Val Holmes, Lackey, very, very good. And, of course, then we had the Raiders 26, the Eels 18. Quite a good game, this one. Hudson Young had an outstanding game. But Matt Timoko, and I did call him, he reminds me of very much of a very, very... a young Ruben Wickie when he was playing centres. And we might have had we may have had different opinions, but no, he's been outstanding.
Yeah,
it was
there's only one Ruben Wickie, mate, and he's not up to it yet. He's a good young player, but he's got a long way to go to head our Ruben. I might be a little bit biased on Ruben, but he was one of our best ever. But I thought that was the second best or the equal best game of the round. You know, again, two teams really needing that win, both of them, and they fought hard. The Eels were disgraced, even though they lost again, and they're way down the bottom end of the ladder. They're going to have to start winning. Like the Roosters, they're going to have to start winning some games soon.
I believe that I think the Eels will be probably more dangerous prospect for a lot of teams than the Roosters. I think the Roosters are in a bit of trouble, but I may be seen to eat my words at the end of the season. Who knows? The Knights 46, Titans 26. Kalen Ponga is back to his best, and, you know, was actually really very surprising, but the Knights were just very good against the Titans.
Yeah, they were. This was the only game I got wrong in the round, to be honest, in my picks. I got 7 out of 8, and this is the one I got wrong. The difference between the two teams was Kalen Ponga. Without him, I believe the Titans win. He was fantastic on the night, and mostly played as well. I would say definitely played his way into a State of Origin jumper. Definitely. He was brilliant.
Possibly at fullback at the expense of Reece Walsh, possibly, but we'll hear more about that. And of course, the Sharks 20, the Sea Eagles 14, not a bad game. Nico Hines proves why there is still a lot of talk about him being included in the State of Origins, but Braden Nakora had a really great game. He is such a monster, that guy is.
Yeah, well, he's the second row. He'd be the best line running player in the game, I believe. He knows what lines to run. He does it for the Sharks. He does it for the Kiwis. He used to do it off Shaun Johnson. Now he's just one of those real heady players. Tough, knows when to run, knows the angles to run on, and scores us more than the share of tries. I thought the Sharks looked good in the first half. Really good. I thought their second half was pretty average. So they need to go up another level. Even though they're up there on the ladder, they need to go another level where they're going to challenge the big boys like Panthers and Souths.
I'd have to agree with you. Well, I'm picking the game of the round to watch will be the Dolphins versus the Storm next week, this week coming up.
That will be a good one, without any doubt. And you've got to remember, there's going to be some feeling in that game.
Oh, yeah.
At least three of the Melbourne players now playing for the Dolphins. I'm picking Kafushi will go up another level as the Brombus boys, and that's going to make it tasty. I would still go with Melbourne. I think they're a better side all round, but you know it wouldn't surprise me if it went the other way. The Dolphins just hang in there. They know when to, you know, they never give it away, and they play the most simple game going, but it's effective.
It certainly is, and of course, this Friday you'll be up in the big smoke with your trotter racing.
Yeah, I'll be up Friday at Alexandra Park. Always good to go to Alexandra Park. They put it on well there. She's in the big race, the Group 1 three-year-old fillies race. So Can't wait to get there.
Okay, and the name of the horse, because I always tend to forget it. You know, my memory's shocking, friend.
I've told you this 50 times.
Yeah, I know.
Millwood Nike.
Yeah, I've got it now. God, I'm bloody hopeless at names. Well, anyone wanting to go down to Alexandra Park and just enjoy that, put your money on Millwood Nike. It's definitely one of the favourites for that race, and of course, and you may see a very smiley Mr. Endicott at the end of it, and I might just have a word to my friends at the Auckland Trotting Club to see if I can just sneak up and have a quick lemonade with you and a quick chat.
That sounds real good. I'll have to catch up. It'll be a good night. She's going for 14 straight, mate.
Oh, geez, that's going to be brilliant. And don't worry, Frank, yeah. I will have my wallet.
You'll need to.
Yeah, I certainly will. The last couple of years, I might have to go to the bank manager. Hey, Frank, thank you very, very much, and really enjoyed our chat as per usual, and we'll try and catch up for a quick beverage on Friday. Thank you very, very
good
much.
Good on you, Eamon.
Cheers, mate.
Bye. Thank you, mate. Thank you. Bye.
Well, that was Frank Endicott. Well, next up, we're going to talk a bit of EPL, a bit of A-League, and a bit of football with Noel Barkley. I seem to be a bit confused today, but you know what? I'm just getting used to it. So we'll get on to a bit of music, and then we will speak to Noel Barkley after this. Welcome everyone back to the Green Security Sports Review here on Planet FM, and it's been a hell of a weekend. I think it's very much title point to Manchester City. I'll tell you what, it's been a interesting weekend of EPL, and of course here to join us is my good friend, former All-White Noel Barkley. Good afternoon to you, Noel.
Hi, Eamon. Yes, it certainly was a big weekend of football, and I guess the main thing at the top end of the table is that it looks like a foregone conclusion now. And the inevitable being that City would win the league, and I think they need one win from three, which shouldn't be very difficult because they got pretty easy games. And I guess the biggest shock was this morning was Arsenal just completely flunking at home against a team that Everton beat 5-1.
Incredible. It's just been an unbelievable season. You would have backed Arsenal to win that game, especially after what happened in the midweek with Brighton, but it's just been such a topsy-turvy EPL season. Of course, you know, that's really given the title to Manchester City, who had a good 3-0 win over Everton. But, you know, like for Arsenal, there will be a lot of Arteta will be looking back on where he possibly lost the title.
Yeah, well, I think I read that it's got 9 points out of the last 26. You can't win league titles. I mean, they had two draws against teams that they should beat. So, yeah, they haven't had distractions of other competitions like other teams have. And, they've come up empty-handed. They're back in the Champions League, which will be their big sort of celebration. But, yeah, I think given the lead that they had, I think it was February, they were just miles ahead and looked like they were going to run away with it. So, yeah, big shock that they fell over so badly. And, City's the best team in the league. And as much as it hurts me, it's okay, I mean, that's the best team should win, and they've got such a depth of squad and they can move players around and go to Everton and win 3-0, and you'd expect that be a lot harder than what it was. And good fair play to them. The bottom of the league is probably the most exciting bit at the minute.
Yeah, well, Southampton are gone, but you have a look at it. Leeds had a 2-2 draw against Newcastle. Now, I tell you what, Newcastle, I know that we pretty much felt that Newcastle would be in the top four. They must be looking over their shoulder as Manchester United do. But then you're looking at Leicester have got Liverpool, and then you've got Notts Forest are somehow still climbing out. It's just such an interesting times ahead.
And things could have been a lot worse for Newcastle. I mean, they got two penalties, which were the craziest, dumbest penalties that you could ever imagine, and then missed one themselves. So, I mean, that would have been their lifeline if they could have obviously got 3 points there, and then Newcastle would have dragged back into the fight for fourth place. There's a bit of stuff to go on in the next couple of weeks. Everton and Leicester and Leeds all have really, really tough games to come. So I think one win probably does it. Notts Forest, with the point that they got away to Chelsea, just about makes them safe in a game where they had about 20% possession. So Chelsea, obviously, still a bit rough. Two weeks to go, two more games to go for most, and lots to play for. So it's going to go right to the wire in terms of the third and fourth place, and certainly for relegation spots.
Yeah, and it's been really, really exciting. Even when you look at some of the results, obviously Palace beating Bournemouth 2-0, Fulham more or less bankrupting Southampton with to the Championship with a 2-0 win. You have a look, Manchester United with a much relieved victory over Wolverhampton Wanderers 2-0, and there's just some other results like Brentford 2, West Ham 0. But for Manchester United, there must a slight bit of relief at this stage.
Yeah, it was pretty drab, mind you. I watched the full game, and it was, we scored right at the death, obviously, to make it 2-0. Wolves are drab, so they made the game very, very tough, but we weren't great. Didn't give me a lot of confidence for what they had of us, so it was good to see Newcastle lose some points. But, yeah, good to see Garnacho come on, score a goal. And really, he's the absolute solution to Jadon Sancho, who was absolutely terrible again. So, yeah, hopefully he's a big ace for Man United in the next few weeks, big games in the league, and then obviously a cup final in June 2. So, yeah, it was good.
It does, actually, and it's probably a bit of relief. Of course, then we've got that Liverpool. I think we'll probably beat Leicester. Just having a look at the Championship, the playoffs that happened over the weekend. Sunderland 2, Luton Town 1. Now, Luton Town finished third. Now, though, Luton Town will be hoping for a victory when they go back to Luton. Now, there's the Luton story. Now, everyone's speaking about Wrexham, how fantastic it was. Have a look at Luton. No Hollywood owner, on a very minimal budget, and potentially just two games away from a Premier League spot.
Yeah, I mean, and there's some parallels with Sunderland. I mean, they may not have gone just as far down, but they were, in that second division for a long time, and knocking on the playoffs year in, year out, lots of changes and so on. So both of those clubs have had a bit of renaissance. It's probably would have made a good final. A man for Sunderland, the Man United loanee, has had an absolutely amazing season, and he's got about 13 goals. So, yeah, that's going to be quite. But I mean, Sunderland got the lead, and if he ended up with Sunderland and Middlesbrough in a final, it would be a bit of a battle of the Geordies. But all of those games, both of those games, are evenly poised. You know, there's only one goal in it, and home advantage in that second game is probably a big deal.
It certainly will be, because it was Coventry nil, Middlesbrough nil, but you know, Middlesbrough will be at Teesside Stadium against Coventry, and I think, you know, you've got to put your money on Middlesbrough. Sunderland, Luton, that I'm actually going to record that match, because I think it's going to be a hell of a cracker.
That's a toy course.
I don't know what happened in the Scottish Premier League. Rangers, the Old Firm derby was won by Rangers, but, you know, congratulations to them. But pretty much Celtic had made a few changes. And, of course, the A-League, a couple of real cracking games. Did you see James McGarry's goal for Central Coast? No.
I certainly did, and he must be a very happy chappy, and his father Michael in Dunedin, a good friend of mine. James has had a bit of a challenging, you know, career once leaving the Phoenix, and who would have thought of him turning up there scoring a cracker in the semi-final? Looks like they're going to be odds on to get through to the final, and you know, he's moved around and he's now getting game time with one of the top teams, and that's great news. I'm sure the Phoenix probably wish they could hang on to the losing that many players this year. So, I'm pleased for the boy.
Yeah, well, talking about losing players, Callum Elliott, it seems as though that the rumours that he may be heading to Scotland to play in the Scottish Premier League, some of those rumours are getting stronger. Negotiations broke down with the Phoenix, where he just said he didn't believe the offer was good enough. So Callum Elliott, it's likely, the rumour is that he's heading to Europe and most likely to Scotland.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I hope that it's happening, because I'd hate for him to be in limbo and not have a contract, because he certainly, you know, he was their under-23 player of the year. He's obviously had some international experience in the last year, he got roasted with Craig Goodwin in the semi-final, but I mean, just about every fullback in the league has been roasted by him. Easily the best player in the league, so yeah, a bit of a surprise for me to see that him not re-sign there, and I hope the Phoenix have got a good backup, and doesn't cost them more than what it would have done to keep him.
Well, yeah, I believe it's definitely going to be worrying times for the Phoenix as they head into next season. Of course, in the following season, with the possibility of another A-League side being based in New Zealand and being based in Auckland, players that they were looking for, not only within New Zealand and potentially in Australia and around the world, they will definitely have competition for.
Yeah, that's motoring along. And again, what I'm hearing is that there's a strong consortium, and the A-League want Auckland badly, and they've sort of picked Auckland as the right place. So they're trying to make it happen. And I'm sure in the next few months that's all going to sort of come out. I think it'll cut to June before they sort of are accepted and they can find the money, which won't be easy this time, but there's certainly lots of people interested in getting involved.
Well, wouldn't it be great to have our first New Zealand derby at Eden Park?
Yeah, I think it'll be Mount Smart, Mount Smart's cheaper and it's easier to fill.
Yeah.
Auckland Wellington football derby would be a bit special for sure.
Oh, it certainly would. Well, no, you enjoy the rest of the week, and no doubt we'll catch up next week, and as we get ready for another big week of football coming up, and not only the EPL and Europe, of course, we've got the Champions League semi-finals happening, so it's going to be a huge week.
Yeah, big week of football, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you very, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Noel Barkley. Noel, have a great rest of the day.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, that was Noel Barkley. Well, next up, I have the privilege of speaking with Sir Brian Williams. As the news over the weekend broke, the Prince of Centres, Bruce Robinson, died aged 71 after a long illness. Very, very young. He's still very, very young. And, of course, Sir Brian and him had spent a lot of time together on tours away. So We're just going to play a bit of music and I'll get hold of Sir Brian and then we can just have a great chat to him about the career of Bruce Robinson. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM, and I have to say really looking forward to this chat. As I mentioned before we went to the break, sadly the news over the weekend after a long illness, Bruce Robinson, the Prince of Centres, really a fantastic player, one of the best players ever to wear that number 13 for the All Blacks, died at 71. To speak to us today, and I have it's a real privilege to have him, Sir Brian Williams, not only a fantastic All Black, fantastic coach, does a lot for, not only for rugby within the country, just a all-round good bloke, does a lot of good work at Ponsonby, Mount Albert Grammar. He's been everywhere, Manu Samoa, and it's always great to have him. I had a chat to BG, so I'll just go to here right now. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Yeah, good afternoon, Amon. How are you?
Yeah, very, very good. Of course, the sad news... it had been coming for a while, but it's always sad when you one of your great mates dies. 34 Test All Black, Bruce Robinson. Of course, you would have first met Bruce when you were playing for Auckland, when he was playing for Counties in the 70s. You two together, you know, you had a really great friendship. Just tell us some of the great things that you know, we see them on the field, but we don't know some of the personal connections and the friendship you both had.
Well, as you say, Amon, a very sad news came through after the weekend, and obviously sincere condolences to Nelly and the whanau. We had lots of tours together, Bruce and I, and I think the first occasion that I actually played with him, he was at centre. I think we played the Junior All Blacks on Athletic Park, I think, and in internal tour 1972, and I remember Bruce taking the scap around about or beyond the halfway line and just absolutely accelerating away, and I just couldn't believe the speed that he showed, and I, as I've said in the past, it took me a long while to catch up to him, and I thought, God, this kid's going to be great. And you know, that just illustrated his great speed, but he also had such a great all round game. You know, he could defend, he could run like the wind, but his ball distribution, you know, passing and also the execution of grubber kicks and that sort of thing. He was a master rugby player, really, and I was a beneficiary of so many passes from Bruce that actually led to my tries. So he meant a great deal to me.
Yeah, he certainly did, and you know what? When you know, like, there's symbols that come out of New Zealand rugby, like when you hear about a player when Conrad Smith, as I was talking to you this morning before, when I was trying to get you onto air, they described him as a Bruce Robertson type of player. You know, silky skills, intelligent footballer, great distributor of the ball, great pace. Mm. But it wasn't only that he was such a good servant of the game. You know, his 34 tests for the All Blacks, his 109 games for Counties, you know, he has been such a good servant of the game. And of course, you know, a couple of times he you guys would have gone on those tours, the 72 to 73 tour, which I think started in October and ended, and you guys didn't get home till February the following year. But he played under, you know, worked it out, he played under six All Blacks captains as well too.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And yeah, that tour to the UK, 4.5 months long, was a marathon tour. But and back in those days, of course, we played twice a week. There was no let up. You played twice a week. You travelled twice a week. But we also partied twice a week. So that was a lot of fun at the time. But unfortunately, Bruce suffered from hamstring problems during that tour. And despite that, he was still able to you know, play some great rugby. But back in those days, we didn't have a doctor travelling with us or a physiotherapist. We had one coach, one manager, and basically that was it, a baggage man. And, you know, so a lot of work for a few people. And I think you might have had Ian Kirkpatrick on earlier, and you know, Kirky had to shoulder a lot of extra work as the captain on that tour. But no, Bruce was a thorough gentleman, very humble, very modest, and as you say, just a great servant of New Zealand rugby, not only during his playing career but also after it. He ended up working for Auckland Rugby and mentored lots of young up-and-coming players. And then he went and started working for Northland rugby as well. So he's been a long time servant of the game.
Yeah, of course, and of course, he was part of that 78 tour, which was your final tour, which was a Grand Slam tour. But, you know, his what he gave to counties, you know, it's now known as Counties of Manukau, he was part of that 1979 county side, which was coached by Hiwi Tairoa, who ended up becoming the Race Relations Conciliator. And, of course, he won the MPC back in 1979, but twice denied the Ramphilly Shield. And, of course, it was Counties versus Auckland, a midweek crowd of about 40,000. Counties up 9-0. Bruce Robinson went off, and of course, fortunes changed for Auckland that day.
Yeah, they did. Amon, we better get his name right now. It's Robertson.
Sorry.
I'm sorry to do that, mate, but I'm sure his family would want that to happen. You're right. A game. He was injured and had to go off at half time, and at that stage, counties were leading 9-0, and quite frankly, they were doing it comfortably. And dare I say it, well, once he went off, the game changed, and we were able to get back on more than even terms. I think we scored a try and kicked a couple of goals, and before we knew it. In fact, we scored two tries now that I recall it. One of them I got close to. I remember Lindsay Harris ran the blind side and passed me what I thought was a really high pass. It actually went right over my head. But fortunately, Colin Farrell was looming up on the outside, and he got the pass and scored in the corner. So that enabled us to win. I think Richard Dunn kicked the penalty late in the game. We won 11-9. But if Bruce had stayed on the field, I don't think that would have happened, to be totally fair.
Yeah, and of course, also denied in 1982 with a 15-all draw against Canterbury. But one of the other things which Bruce was, and you know, I used to live around the Eden Park area, and I used to go to one of the very few people I used to go to first class cricket. And of course, Bruce, you'd see Bruce when in his lunch hour, just watching the cricket, and he absolutely loved cricket. A lot of people did not know that.
Yeah, no, he was a good cricketer in his own right, and his brother Bill was also a really good cricketer. So they were, you know, a typical New Zealand family, I guess, who were brought up on rugby and cricket. And I must say, I'm a great cricket fan too. I love watching the cricket. I played a bit myself back in the day. So Bruce was a top all-round player, and I remember one year he competed in the they had the Superstars competition.
Where yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Sporting celebrities competed in lots of different events, and Bruce was in just normal runners, not sprinting shoes, and he ran the 100 metres in 11 seconds. Flat.
Oh my goodness.
he cleared out and left everyone in his wake, and it just illustrated the speed that he had.
He was a tremendous athlete, and of course in 1981 he played his final test against Scotland, scoring a try in Eden Park. Made himself unavailable for the series against the Springboks. You know, he didn't agree with the apartheid system that was in South Africa at the time. Himself, Graham Urie, and many, many former All Blacks were quite prominent against that tour, which has seemed so long ago. But, you know, really a man of principle, Brian.
Absolutely, Amon. He decided after what he'd seen in 1976 that in view of all the you know, the upheaval that it was causing in New Zealand in 1981, but leading up to the tour, that he'd make himself unavailable. As you say, a man of great principle, and Graham Murray too, for that matter, another one of my
dear
mates. And Yeah, so that just illustrated the character of the man.
The legacy he will leave to New Zealand rugby, the Prince of Centres, Bruce Robertson, what legacy do you believe he will leave?
You've actually hit the nail on the head. He was a Prince of Centres, and those who followed, you know, the Joe Stanleys and the Frank Bunces and the Conrad Smiths and others have basically followed his lead, you know, because a great distributor of the ball who could, you know, run like the wind. He could defend. He had lots of deft touches to his play. A really intelligent rugby player. So he was a full package, no doubt about that. And, you know, lots of young players were able to model themselves on Brucey. And, you know, New Zealand rugby's the richer for it.
Absolutely, Sir Brian. I have to say I've really enjoyed this interview today. Sir Brian, it's been fantastic. Thank you for giving up your time. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday at Gribblehurst Park and hoping to have another chat then and there.
Okay, Amon, that sounds good. You don't need the Sir part, mate. Just BG.
Well, I'll be calling you BG, but I'll be definitely be calling you BG. I might even buy you a beer as well too.
Oh, good boy.
Looking forward to seeing you this Saturday, BG. So that was Sir Brian Williams, absolute pure gentleman of the game. So we're just going to finish off the show a bit earlier. And then we'll just get ready for the next week. So sorry, it was a bit dusty from my point of view because I had a bit of a sore throat. So I'll just get some music on and I'll end the show.
Just call my name. Give me your hand, and I'll take you somewhere so beautiful. Give me your hand.